Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, it has been a few weeks since we've been together last. In the past 2 weeks, I traversed thousands of miles of land and sea. In the 11 days I've spent sailing the Caribbean Sea, I visited the ancient Mayan ruins in Mexico, spent a day in Costa Rica, visited the Panama Canal and a tribe that lives in the rainforest. Hopefully the tattoo will come off. I learned how to eat a whole fried fish with the head attached in Colombia. It was delicious. And I drank water straight from the coconut on the beaches of Aruba. It was a trip of a lifetime, but there is no place like home. And if you've been following me this week, you know that the journey home was just as memorable. Last weekend, the winter weather wreaked havoc all across travel across the United States. And one issue led to another, with American Airlines leaving thousands of flights delayed and thousands who were canceled. I was supposed to get home Monday night, but I didn't get home, but that flight was canceled, and then three more in the next few days, and I didn't get home until midnight Thursday morning. My luggage was delivered yesterday. Now, you may think that being stranded in Miami is an excellent place to be, where it's warm and enjoyable, but what happened is I was either on the phone or I was at the airport waiting for the next flight to board, and only to get it canceled. I was also feeling sick. So by the third time my flight was canceled on Tuesday night, I was getting a little depressed. I knew I would get home, but I didn't know exactly when or how. Wednesday morning, I awoke to some missed calls. Someone in one of my last churches had a friend who worked for American. She had sent an email to that person, that employee, who responded back with a confirmation code for a flight on United in West Palm Beach, 65 miles away, if I could get there by 4 in the afternoon. Let's just say this guy from the Midwest learned how to use to navigate all of the trains and the public rail system, and I did get there, but I had a lot of helpers along the way. I made it to West Palm Beach Wednesday afternoon, flew through Chicago, got home at midnight, and the bag got home yesterday. Well, now that I'm home, physically at least, I can ponder about how blessed I was that I had people along the way to get me home. It was in my need, it was in my confusion, it was in my uncertainty that I had people look after me. I felt blessed, not so much as when I was on the ocean, seeing the beautiful sunsets and all, but it was after the cruise, when I didn't sure exactly when or how I would get home. We're talking about blessing this morning. Many people say that I'm blessed when things are going well, but I've found in my life, and perhaps you have found also, that blessing comes in some of the more challenging and uncertain moments of your life. Well, we meet up with Jesus preaching a sermon that today we call the Beatitudes. We get the word Beatitudes from a Latin word that means happiness. Now, I preached before on the Beatitudes, but there are two versions of them, and last time was in Luke. It's interesting that in Matthew, Jesus goes up on a mountain with the disciples, and he preaches a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. But in Luke, it's the opposite. He goes with them to a level place, and it's called the Sermon on the Plain. Matthew was a Jew, and he wrote his gospel mainly for a Jewish audience, and so it made sense that he went up on a mountain. Mountains were very special places for Jewish folks throughout that tradition. But Luke, being a Gentile, had Jesus go among the people, where the people were, and that made sense in that context. So those who first heard the Beatitudes, whether it was high on a mountain or on a plain in Luke, very much needed to hear them. They were sick and in need of healing. There were demons that needed to be cast out. In Matthew, from a very high place on the mountain, Jesus sat down and his disciples listened to him preach in verse 2. And he said to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom, that they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people hate you or exclude or revile you because of your faith. Rejoice and be glad, for Jesus said, for your reward is in heaven." It's little wonder that Jesus' sermon gave a lot of hope to those people around him, because they were the poor and the meek, they were the mourning, they were the peacemakers, they were persecuted in various ways. And I mean, if anybody needed a blessing, it was them. They were hungry, both physically and spiritually. Life was full of physical and emotional suffering. And yet Jesus was telling these kinds of people that they were blessed. And this may be surprising to us as it was to Jesus' audience. Because, you know, if anyone asks you today how you're doing, or if you ask somebody how they're doing and they say, "Well, I'm blessed," it's usually with a smile on their face. Because blessed usually means to us that things are going well, that we're full, that we're happy, that things are going well. But it seems that in the Bible, to be blessed isn't to have all the things that we today associate with blessedness. Apparently to Jesus, as he said, you know, as it shows in the scripture today, being blessed doesn't just happen when we're happy and healthy, when we're joyful, when we've got everything we need. It happens especially in the difficult times of life, when we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we're in need of God's presence. To be blessed in the Bible, you see, is more than having just a special place in God's heart. To be blessed is something that all the money in the world could never buy. Jesus reminds us today that God does not bless us with things like wealth or health or material things. These are things of the world. And so I would caution us against saying that we're blessed only when we have these things, because what's that mean for the times when we don't have them? What's it mean when we say that if we measure our blessedness by the things that we have, what's it mean for those who are doing without? Are they not blessed? You see, sometimes I think Christians, we have to be careful in what we say, because what are we not saying? We shouldn't measure how blessed we are just because we have material things. Yes, we could and we can and we should give God thanks for these things. But we shouldn't measure our blessedness based on our things or are not. Because as Jesus shows us today, to be blessed can and does happen when we're lacking. When we're struggling to make ends meet, we can be blessed. When we're hurting or sad or grieving, Jesus said in our scripture today, we can be blessed. When we're hungry, physically or I would say in this part of the world, hungry or thirsty in an emotional way, we can be blessed. Because when we're empty, you see, that's when we seek God often the most, and that's when we feel God work the most in our lives. And how blessed it is when we see God work among us. To be blessed, Jesus seems to be saying this morning, is to recognize that our closeness to God is not related to how well things are going in our lives right now. And many times we see how blessed we are when we're lacking. when a job ends, or when we or someone that we love are enduring health challenges, when we cannot seem to fathom how God is working in all of this, usually that's when we see God working. That's when we find the blessing of God. I found myself blessed earlier this week as I stood in line for 4 hours behind a mother from the Dominican Republic. I'm not bitter. Well, I am a bit. 4 hours behind a mother who was from the Dominican Republic, hoping to get home in vain to see her kids and celebrate a birthday. We saved each other spots as we went to the restroom. She gave me water, and water's scarce behind security, and a Twix bar. 4 hours seemed to go a lot quicker behind her. I was blessed somehow to be connected to an airline insider who got me in the right flight to the next town over, if I could make it. I was blessed by countless transit employees. It told me, go that direction, go south, and get on this train and go west. And finally, I made it. The journey home. Many times, the act of blessing can be very small, sometimes fleeting. I'll never see these people again. But that's how our things don't show us how blessed we are. Blessing to me is direction when you would otherwise feel lost. Direction is a feeling of closeness to God and to others when things felt distant before. And that, my friends, is how blessing happens, especially when we're lacking or in need. I think when we find ourselves in need or when we find ourselves uncertain, it is just a ripe for blessing to happen. And another thing about the Beatitudes is they were clearly written for people who weren't rich and powerful, who were in need. Jesus was speaking, you see, both to and about the other here, about the poor, the mistreated, the suffering, the marginalized. And Luke's version, if you read it, it was balanced with woes against the oppressor. And I think they speak indirectly so, in between the lines to what's going on in America right now. Somewhere in the Caribbean Sea, I opened up my phone, I checked the news, and I saw where another protester was killed by U.S. authorities in Minnesota. I think we should be greatly alarmed by the things that we're seeing. And I think it's very clear to see how the life and ministry and teachings of Jesus Christ are blatantly opposed to some of the things that we're seeing in our world today. I'd encourage you to read that letter that Bishop Farr sent, and we posted it on our Facebook page. Jesus gives us a clear vision that he loves and cares for and blesses the outsider, the marginalized, the immigrant, the refugee. It's biblical, it's scriptural. And anyone who says or teaches or does anything that does not align with this is not the gospel. How blessed the peacemakers are in these times. And being the church, I think, is so very difficult in these times. But being the church is so very crucial. And John Wesley would often talk about social holiness. And that's the DNA of Methodism, of how we're not just talking about a faith that is personal and a personal relationship with Jesus. John Wesley and the early Methodists believed that our personal relationship with Jesus is something that could transform the lives of others around us and our communities. And it really did. Because I know I've said this before, but if you read about the beginnings of Methodism in America, Methodism, because of our connectionalist structure, the bishop would send a pastor out west, and they would start a church. They would round up the pioneers, and they would start a church, and a village would form around it. And then they would go out farther west because of our connectional system, and they would round up the people who had just moved out there, and they would start a church, and then a village would start around it. And a professor from the University of Missouri, a history professor, has a theory that Methodism and the Republic of America grew together because Methodism would grow out west and then a town would build. And Methodism is a fabric of America. It really transformed society and the world. In the root, in the DNA of Methodism is our belief that our faith could transform others and communities and the world around us. And so that's where John Wesley talked about social holiness a lot. Being the church is crucial in these days. And I think, though, that we're doing our best to do it, and I'm proud of us for it, because it's not easy to be the church in this divided world and to preach and to share the gospel. But I think that every time that we come together as a church, every time we worship and serve, every time we feast together, we feel the blessing of God around us. We feel the closeness of one another, and we feel the blessing of God. And so I guess my question today is where are you wandering? Where are you wandering around? Where are you hungering? Where are you thirsting? Where are you working for peace? Where are we called to be a bit meeker than usual? When we find ourselves in these particular times, that's when we feel ourselves blessed. That's when we feel the work of God among us. And so as we be the church, as we serve God in our community, as we serve a meal tomorrow, as we bring food for the food pantry, we feel this closeness together, don't we? We feel this closeness and this love for our community. And that's what matters, because we feel this blessedness of God among one another, and we feel a blessedness in our community and in our world. Let's pray. Loving God, we are blessed by your presence. Help us to continue to be your people, to share your love, to share a holiness that isn't just personal, but is social. That we may share your love and your grace so that others like us may feel your blessedness here, in this community, and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.